B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Touch and Rich. Touch and Rich. Touch and Rich. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm sick of the NHL. This season has gone to hell. We all want to scream and yell because there are no games. Why can't they just get it done? Hockey games are so much fun. We suffer in the long run because there are no games. We're sick of waiting. Pissed off, we are hating. The pain it's creating. What the hell are these guys thinking? Hey, I love hockey, and this is crazy. But end this lockout, play hockey maybe. It's hard to live with, out you hockey. But end this lockout, play hockey maybe. Hey, I love hockey, and this is crazy. But end this lockout, play hockey maybe. And all the Bruins fans are very angry. So end this lockout, play hockey maybe.
Tonight it begins. Another Stanley Cup playoffs. Carrying it right here. Puck drop 8 o'clock, right? We'll hear Judd Surratt, Bob Beers. Well, we might have back-to-back games, right? Isn't the Celtics game at 5,
yep.
John?
Is Celtics right? Game's okay. At 5. Bruins game, pregame 7:30, puck drop 8 o'clock.
All right. Well, that should be a fantastic day of sitting on your ass and watching television. And yeah, that should be great. I'm looking forward to it. And we're going to have Ty Anderson on in just a couple minutes and talk to him about everything that's going on with, you know, yesterday there were some questions about the whole unfit to play thing that gets thrown around. Tuukka Rask, I believe, also Pasternak was also on the unfit to play. Obviously, you don't want to hear that. But then again, nobody knows what the hell that means. That could mean they just want to give him a rest day or they can have a sore pinky. It doesn't. Nobody knows. It can really cover anything. So we'll talk to him about the matchup between the Hurricanes and the Redneck fans. But first, you know, yesterday I was curious, John and Joe. We were talking about how with college football in jeopardy, how our man Paul Feinbaum's been doing. Mm. And I was thinking about him. As a matter of fact, I even, like, their producer is a fan of our show, and he reaches out every once in a while whenever we talk about him. And I was, if you don't know Paul Feinbaum, Paul Feinbaum's obviously a guy who's just, he's got the greatest job in the world. He just opens up the phones, and all of these people from Alabama and Mississippi call in.
B-O-B-O-B, Bob on bivouac on a bike.
That's right. That's right. They call in and they yell about stuff. Okay, that's the time. I think he said, "I love Bama people."
Bama people.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And they are usually scream at each other, and they're angry rednecks, or they just want to rant. There was one guy who was actually dying who wanted to call. He was in the ambulance and wanted to call Paul Feinbaum while he was in the... And they usually, most of the calls start like this.
Hey, Paul. Man, I love you.
That's all right, man. So I checked in and I wanted to find out what they're talking about. Now, I wasn't able to find something from like the past week, but I did find something from about a week and a half ago. Now, remember, the college football season's kind of been up in the air, even, you know, for like the last month. Nobody really knew it was going to happen. There'd been whispers about it possibly, you know, being canceled or maybe not obviously as loud as right now. But if you want to know what people are saying on the Paul Feinbaum show recently, here's a little just jump in and let's take a listen to what happened.
Rick is up next in Alabama. Hey, Rick, nice of you to call.
Hey, Paul, is that you?
That is Paul here. Yes.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, man?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, but this is my question right here, Paul. Listen, man, it's a toughie.
Okay.
If you could take anybody in the world from history out to dinner, who would you choose?
Oh my goodness.
Live or dead.
Oh, wow. Well, that makes it even more interesting. John Lennon would be fascinating. What about you, Rick?
Well, stop. Who is he going to say?
Where's he from?
Alabama.
Oh, he's Bear Bryant.
You think Bear Bryant?
I think Bear Bryant.
Nick Saban.
Okay.
You think Nick Saban? Okay, let's take a listen.
What about you, Rick?
Well, I got to be honest with y'all. Probably Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Okay.
Way off.
Dale Earnhardt. Why not? Me and the Intimidator, we go up to Sonic, sit in the car together. Kind of like Joe when he took his friend to the Kowloon to go watch the Rocky movie.
Probably Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Senior, not junior. Yeah. Senior. Yeah. Senior. All right. So why would you take Dale Earnhardt out to dinner?
Probably Dale Earnhardt Senior.
Well, I tell you what, I had the occasion to spend some time with Dale Earnhardt Senior about 20 years ago, and
I've met him about 4 times. I don't think he likes me. He about stole my wife, so we about got into it.
Dale Senior,
right. I'm sure you've met 4 times, and I'm sure he almost stole your wife, which I've a and by met 4 times, you were in the stands at one of his races, potentially. And by stole your wife wouldn't shut up about how hot he was on the way home.
He about stole my wife, so we about got into it.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's hear this story. How did you almost steal your wife?
Dale Sr. Yeah. Almost stole your wife?
Dale Jr.
Oh, Dale Jr. Would you mind explaining how that happened?
Well, we was in the pits, and he was looking at her butt, and I told him to quit looking at my wife the wrong way. He kept on doing it. I can't take her to the racetrack no more, Paul. I take her up to the racetrack. She acts like she ain't got no sense. She don't know what to do. She wants these drivers. And then, you know, I got her.
So were you on his pit crew?
No. I'm a semi-professional race car driver.
Okay, here we go. So up here we have semi-professional hockey players that always call this. Hey, listen, I'm a semi-professional. Let me tell you something about hockey. Down in Paul Feinbaum country, I'm a semi-professional race car driver. I'm in the pits all the time. They just let us, you know, once you earn that right to be a semi-professional driver, you can just walk anywhere you want to in Talladega. They just give you all access passes if you're semi-professional.
And you bring your lady.
Look at her. She ain't got no sense showing those sweet hams jammed in them pants, them tight jeans. She ain't got no sense with these drivers. And, them Daisy Dukes, he just head keys. Oh my God! This is a dude. Oh, by the way, why he wants to go out with the father of the guy who was looking at her ass? I'm not quite sure where all that came from, but this is a guy who obviously lives with a woman who is obsessed with drivers, and it's pissing him off. Like, oh, they're super hot, and it's like, yeah, they're all hot for my wife. No. She. All she can do is, you know what? She puts that poster of Dale Jr. right over the bed, keeps an eye on that sucker, kind of like Mary's aunt who had a picture of Tom Selleck over her bed, which
well,
is
hey,
great.
Hey, hey, there's nothing That's wrong real. With that guy. There's nothing wrong with Tom Selleck. Come on. He's a man.
Right
man.
Over the bed. It
great,
was a picture of
great
Tom
tuft
Selleck.
Of hair, hey, yes.
Listen, the guy, he is a blue blood. All right, let's let it play.
No, I'm a semi-professional race car driver.
Okay.
And an amateur tattoo artist.
So your wife was in the pits. For those who don't know, that's where you... and Dale Jr. was eyeing her. Would that be fair?
Oh, he was doing more than eyeing.
So what did you say to Dale?
I said, listen here, Dale. I don't want to have to whip you. I love your daddy. But let me tell you something, boy.
He would do more than ire. Oh, man. He would assault her sexually. What is he talking about?
Can you play that again? I got to hear that.
Hang on. First of all, that might be the line of the year. I'm saying I'm a semi-professional driver and an amateur tattoo artist.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Okay. I don't even remember. I don't want you to rewind it that far. But
I just,
right,
would
go
love
back, just
to
go
know where he met his wife.
Yeah.
I want to know where met her.
He did more than like what? Like, what did he do? Did he grab her? Like, what are you talking about? All right, let me hear this.
I said, listen here, Dale. I don't want to have to whip you. I love your daddy, But let me tell you something, boy. My wife is my property, and that's that.
So you threatened to beat up Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Yeah, and you know what he did?
No, what did he do?
He didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing, Paul. He matter of fact, he gave me a gift card for Waffle House.
That's
when me and my wife went up there.
Oh, that's great. That's great audio.
He respected the game so much, he whipped right into his wallet where he always carries a gift card for Waffle House when he's in the pits while he's racing. You know what? He just took off his whole entire suit and said, oops, I left my wallet in the middle of this. I was just about to race, but damn it, I've got my wallet and I've got this Waffle House guy. I never race without my lucky Waffle House gift card. And he whips it out and goes, dude, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me for borderline sexually assaulting your wife? Because apparently it was more than just looking at her. Please, let me pay you off with this waffle. Let me pay you off with waffles.
The guy's like, that's cool. I'll do that.
Like, oh,
cool.
Waffle House. Thanks,
like,
man.
Well, hell yeah.
It's worse than...
Hey, man, you do all you want. As long as I get him scattered, smothered, and covered. Hell yeah. It looks like I'm the one who made out good in the end.
Matter of fact, he gave me a gift card for Waffle House.
Yeah. Well, good for you. That's fantastic. Yeah,
that's great. Oh, sweet. I swear to God, Feinbaum's got the easiest job in the world. This dude is just the best.
I miss it. Oh, you know what? I didn't even realize I had missed it until now. Feinbaum, this is the sweet spot for Feinbaum because he ordinarily has people calling up telling, I can't believe Saban kicked there, or, you know, we're going to beat Auburn's ass this weekend. Mm. Now everyone's angry about everything.
Yeah.
You know, now you take college football away, it's, you know, the door's wide open for all this stuff. He sexually assaulted my wife. That stuff.
All right, we're gonna get Feinbaum on. He's, as a matter of fact, I've been talking to his producer. We're gonna get him on. I mean, this, he's got It's like there's no other show that just I'm just jealous of. He can just, and Feinbaum plays it so well. He just lets these guys talk. He just sits back and he realizes that he's getting calls from the armpits of everywhere in Mississippi and Alabama, and they're all yelling at each other. And it might be the easiest gig in all of entertainment, but he knows how to handle it. You just let them go, and God bless Paul Feinbaum.
Hey,
by the way,
I was going to say, maybe we can do a mashup, but does that guy kind of sound like the force my cut my beard and force me to eat it a little bit?
Mm. It does sound like that. By the way, somebody said he gave me a Waffle House gift card as the best plot twist since The Sixth Sense.
Matter of fact, he gave me a gift card for Waffle House.
That's right. All right. We will talk to Ty Anderson. He will preview the Hurricanes and what that means and whether he believes that they were kind of phoning it in, the Bruins, over the last couple of games. We'll get his preview of the upcoming Stanley Cup playoffs right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk, while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Tusher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I hide the pornos.
Here we go. It's too good time. 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 Too good, too good. Too good time, it's too good time, it's too good time, it's too good. Too good, too good, too good, too good.
I'm gonna be so hungover at work tomorrow, I'm not gonna do anything.
.985 of Sports Hub, it is Tutcher and Rich, and are you ready for that feeling in your stomach, the pain of the last few minutes of the third period when the game's close. I got to be honest. This is the most amazing yet most excruciating period of time in sports, the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if this team's ready. I don't know if what we saw was a team that would just seemed old and tired, or it was exactly what all of them are saying that it is. I tend to believe the players and Bruce Cassidy that they kind of didn't really take these games too seriously and that they wanted to ease into the deal. Hopefully that's the case. But either way, Ty Anderson, who writes for 985sportsup.com, he's on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Ty Anderson, are you ready for that pain in your stomach that comes with Stanley Cup playoff hockey?
Dude, I was feeling it watching some of the play-in games, and I was like, man, I kind of missed this feeling, but I didn't at the same time. And those were the teams I didn't care about. Like, I was watching the Columbus game, and I was having that pit, and I'm like, why do I feel like this right now? I'm, like, screaming at the TV. And now it's a team that I actually care about, so this should be a lot of fun. It's the most, you know what's weird is that you feel it more, I think, watching on TV than you do at the arena for some reason. I don't know why. It's just, I feel like when you're at something, you feel like you're more in control, which isn't the case at all, but you feel like you are. Watching on TV is so helpless, but it's but here we are. Can't wait.
Yeah, that is true. I just remember we were talking about this. The one that probably got me the worst was the Blackhawks series back in 2013, right? Yeah. And I just remember that one game that went double overtime and just thinking to myself, why am I doing this? Like, I don't enjoy this. Like, I don't even, at one point I was like, I don't even care who wins. I just want this to be over with.
Yeah, I would say that was that one. But also the one against, I think it was Toronto in, not 2013. There was one, the game six last year against Toronto was like that because it was in Toronto. And I'm just like, I don't want these fans to be happy. I want them to never experience happiness. Like, I don't want this to happen in Toronto.
Put those scarves away, damn it. We'll go home.
But on the other side of it, you're rewarded because there aren't many better things in sports than when the Bruins score in Toronto and they show the shot of the guys over in the square. Yes. Like, it's one of honestly the best feel good moments in sports when they show that the reaction shot of everyone with their scarves, of course, dejected. All right, so let's just start with first of all the news from yesterday, where you had Tuca and Pasta being held out for unfit to play. What do you make of when they say unfit to play right now? It sounds like he's not worried. It seems to, once again, it covers everything. Is this anything to worry about, in your opinion?
No, I wouldn't think so, because your last run-in with it was on Friday when Krejci and Bergeron and Halak had it, and they were back out there the next day, and they played on Sunday. So I think that this is sort of going to be just a broad term. I think that when it comes to guys like Bergeron who have a history of injuries, he'll probably say it's a maintenance day. But if it's guys like Rask or Pasta, it's just going to be unfit to play. And I think it's interesting to sort of watch this. It can be for anything, right? It could be COVID-related, or it could be just the test didn't come back in time. So I got a feeling that they're not worrying. I feel like if they say they would have provided more information than, they'll be back tomorrow, you know, if they were actually worried. So I think this is going to be something they do. It's all-encompassing. Obviously, that tagline, you know, that unfit to play, you can do whatever you want with it. But I wouldn't worry unless they're not there for a morning skate, or if they have an option, if they have an update today that says they're out. You know, that's when you get actually concerned.
In a more general sense, Ty, I mean, I've been beating the drum that the Bruins have steadily gotten better through these four games that they've played. And although the results haven't been there, and they absolutely need to score more goals, it seems like we now know what the four lines are going to be. They dominated Washington for at least the first period and a half, and probably the first two periods of that game they last played. I'm more bullish on this team than a lot of people seem to be. The results aren't there, but I still like the way they're playing.
Yeah, they've been better structurally, system-wise, I think, over these three games. It's interesting to see how the tone has kind of changed, right? They want to start fast. They want to start on the right foot. And then they lose the game. And I thought the Tampa game was still their best game, I think, the second half on. But then they lose that game, and it's like, well, we're trying to get our feet back. It's like, okay, well, wait a minute. Did you actually feel that way, or now are you 0-2, and now it's like, okay, now these games don't matter, which I'm okay either way. I think they're going to be fine. But, yeah, the system's there. The structure's there. The biggest thing now is just avoiding these breakdowns, right? Because if you're still trying to find your game, You can't have what happened with a minute 30 left against Tampa. You can't have that happen. You can't have what happened with Chara with 16 seconds left in the first period, because that's what will kill you. You know, you can deal with finding your offensive footing and your timing, but you got to make sure that the, you know, who you are as a team is still there, because if it's not, that's when you're going to run into trouble. So I think I agree with you that I think they've been playing better. It's just you want to get some goals here, especially some power play production. Now these games are real.
Yeah, what's a real concern and what's not? And that, I guess that's the biggest question, because I don't know what team that was that played. You know, it sounds to me it's a team that just didn't want to get injured. They wanted to ramp up, kind of get warmed up. They weren't taking it seriously. But as you said, 0 for 9 on the power play. The best line in hockey couldn't score. And so many other issues. I mean, Zdeno Chara looking old, playing old. You know, the second line, it was good to have. Like, what, in your opinion, is a real problem when this team hopefully actually starts wanting to win these games?
Yeah, a real problem for me is that if this DeBrusque goal on Sunday doesn't carry over to a hot streak, because then you don't really have a second line. If he goes back to not being, you know, who we all know he can be and who he's been in the past, that's a problem. I think that, because that second line, you know, Kasha's played seven games now. We still haven't seen him shoot the puck like he did in Anaheim. Krejci didn't look all that great in these three games, in my opinion. He looked slower. He looked a step behind. And DeBrusque is streaky. So you need him to score some goals. You know he can. Go back to 2018 when they won against Toronto. He was scoring big goals left and right. You go back to last year, obviously he has that concussion with the Kadri incident. Wasn't really the same. This year he was very hot and cold. So you want to get him going as well, because if you have two lines, two scoring lines, that changes everything with what you can do. And now the Coyle line is a bonus versus a necessity. So they need that going. But I don't worry about the offense as a whole, I guess. I look at these three games, right? They played Carter Hart, Vasilevsky, and Braden Holtby. Those are three great goaltenders. And part of me is almost thinking that playing three great goaltenders off the bat is going to help you against a guy like Peter Mrazek and James Reimer, who, yeah, they're fine goaltenders, but they're not elite goaltenders. So this might be sort of a blessing in disguise that they struggled this bad offensively, you know, because now they're going to play a defense that allows more chances, and they're going to play a goaltenders that are not as strong as those guys. So I'm kind of curious now if this is almost going to open the floodgates for this team.
Hey, Ty, can you tell us about the Aho line, and what's the latest with Dougie Hamilton? Is he going to play tonight?
Lucky Hamilton was trending towards a return against the Rangers, so I imagine he will be in. That changes a lot for their blue line. This is a much better defense than I think you saw last year. They lose Justin Falk, but they add Brady Shea, Sammy Vatanen. Dougie Hamilton was one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League before he snapped his leg. And they also have Joel Edmondson, who was on the Blues last year. So a more dynamic defense this year, I would say. The biggest thing with the Hurricanes for me is just Svechnikov. Andrei Svechnikov is a much better player than what you saw last year in the third round. You know, he was coming back from the concussion last year, wasn't who he is this year. He's bigger, he's stronger. He's around that age now where guys understand what they have to do in the playoffs. So he's somebody to watch. But when they've had the Aho line, they've put Bergeron's line against him quite a bit, and they've contained him pretty well. So I'm curious if they'll go with that again, or maybe they'll put the Cry line out there against them. The Cry line has handled some number ones this year, so maybe they go back to that. One thing to watch with Carolina, I think, is that when they're on the PK, they use their skill players on the PK, and they're very aggressive. You know, they added Vinny Trocheck from Florida. He can make some stuff happen in all situations. So what you watch with Carolina is that they're a very aggressive team, all strengths, all areas of the ice. They play like their coach did. Rod Brindamore was a very similar player. So that's worth watching, that they'll be on the attack constantly.
Are there still people who in the media down there that don't like talking to you because the way they were treated by 98.5 The Sports Hub?
Well, it's funny when, you know, I'm friends with Sarah Sivian, who writes for The Athletic down there, and I tweeted at her, "Oh, we meet again." And so one of the first replies was somebody being like, "Oh, I bet you guys won't hang up on somebody again. Like, fingers crossed."
Jesus.
My God.
I was like,
Get over it. My Lord.
I got blocked by, like, what, so when I went down there, you know, I got blocked by, like, a bunch of people. And I think it was because of what you guys did to that poor writer. How dare you? but I don't think, I wasn't welcome down there because of that. And I was like, I'm not him. I'm not Fred.
How will you get over it?
Yeah, that was, you know what, when it happened, we were like, what are you doing? And then the reaction of the sanctimonious, like the articles, it was great. Like at that point, it was like, I will drink your tears. And, and what was great too is that, like, when the Bruins ended up losing in game seven, you know, all these Hurricanes, oh, how does it feel? And I'm like, well, good, because we got an extra 2 months of hockey that you guys didn't get. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of nice, you know.
I mean, listen, if I ever bring analysis to the table of, well, they're scoring goals, please hang up on me. Don't let me do that. That's not allowed. I should be allowed to bring that to the table.
See, now you're besmirching this apparently legend in that community. So that's Ty Anderson saying that. Do not blame the Toucher and Rich Show for that one. All right, well, Ty, real quick prediction. Who do you think and how many games?
I hate this. I'll go Bruins in six, but I don't love it. I don't love it because you have a back-to-back on game five and six. So that complicates everything for me. Like, does Tuukka get in two games in a row? Do you go to Halak there? So that's where that gets a little muddy for me. But I think Carolina's a good team. They're going to win one or two games, I think, and you go from there. I just think that Boston, I think their footing can be back there. These games are real. They've talked the talk, and now they have to prove it. And I think that this team knows how to flip that switch.
Real quick, you've been watching a lot of these other games too. Have you noticed that the later games have worse issues with the ice? Like, is it like, and if they do, how noticeable is it?
I don't notice it as much. I think that what happened with when I was watching it, a lot of the later games have the teams that are just a mess defensively. So it was kind of hard to tell, like, if the ice was bad or if just the team is bad. Like, Edmonton was the 10 o'clock game, like, every night, and it was like, I can't tell, this team is just bad. Yeah. So it's a little bit of both there, but I think the ice should be fine. Given the fact that you don't have four games a day right now, you have four series going on in each city, so it's the wear and tear shouldn't be as bad. But we'll have to see these next few days and how it all pans out.
All right. Well, Ty Anderson, you can read his stuff, of course, on 98.5thesportshub.com. Hey, good having you on, and we'll catch up with you again soon. Hopefully they'll be able to do something. And we get ready for the pit of your stomach. It's not fun. Kind of sucks. So let's all cross our fingers that we don't have – let's all hope they're all blowouts. A nice blowout filled Stanley Cup playoff would be fantastic.
That'd be great. It was a good talking to you guys.
All right. See you, Ty. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Just Joe Murray here with your headline from one member who is sitting over there at 55 Morrissey. That would be Mr. Joe Murray, getting very passionate about a team that really doesn't deserve anyone's passion right now. fired up about a manager who, as I said, in my opinion, you can't really get rid of the manager when he doesn't have anything to work with. But Mr. Mike Lockhart put this together from earlier in the show.
No.
Hey, Joe, what was Doc Rivers' record his first year he was a coach for the
Celtics?
Doesn't
matter. That team was atrocious. Doc Rivers is a good coach.
Exactly right.
Rennecke stinks.
Rennecke stinks.
Nobody cares, right? Why should I even bring it up?
Rennecke stinks.
Rennecke stinks. I don't want to defend Rennecke anymore.
Rennecke stinks.
Rennecke stinks.
Can we stop?
So don't.
So let's all stop.
Rennecke stinks. Rennecke stinks.
Rennecke stinks.
Rennecke stinks.
Oh, fantastic, Mike Lockhart. Good job. By the way, the best part of that is I don't want to defend Rennecke anymore. When have you ever defended Ron
Rennecke? That was my point at the time.
I don't want to hear you guys defend
Rennecke.
No,
your exact statement is I don't want to defend Rennecke anymore.
No, because
that's what you said.
I don't want to. He's old and he's a nice guy.
But you never did in the first place. You never defended him in the first place.
You guys do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you guys are like, it doesn't matter. Stop talking
Correct.
About it. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
But like, I don't know.
That's not defending him. That's saying you're wasting way too much energy on this subject when the Red Sox punted on the season in February. They don't have anybody who's any good. They're 6-10. They were built to lose this year. Reneke's going to have the job for this season, and then he will be gone.
Question,
don't get yourself worked
the
up.
The question you asked me was, would they have won more games with another manager? That was better. And I said yes.
Yes, I said with the world's greatest manager, how many more games would they have won?
I said at least two or three.
I disagree. I don't think that's true at all. I think that you take Jeffrey Springs out last night, you bring in another guy who gives up four runs, and you're further behind.
He makes so many moves where I'm like, this would – we would cry. Every morning we would come in the next day and be like, the manager did this.
If the Red Sox were supposed to win, yes. If the Sox were any
they're
good –
they're almost a playoff team, damn it.
Not anymore. Trust me. Again, you're wasting your time. That's just more about the division than it does them. This is a bad team managed by a bad manager, which was put together intentionally by the general manager.
How about
manager.
The J.D. Martinez thing? Should I just throw that one on?
No, that's legit.
That's legit. He's being a baby. By the way, somebody tweeted us and said, so apparently bashing the Red Sox isn't allowed, Rich and John. Are you guys on Henry's payroll now? He said, I'm glad Joe Murray actually speaks up and says what needed to be said.
Yeah.
No, my point is that
when you have
the Bruins in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Celtics that are about to start in the NBA playoffs, and you've got a cluster F of a gigantic screwball thing that's happening with the college football. Right now, the Red Sox don't deserve your passion.
They're
a crud product. Now, I like Verdugo. He's okay. I've kind of got a soft spot for him. At least the guy's trying. But, I mean, honestly, like, why? There's no reason to get fired up about this team.
And you know what? My point is, even if none of the other things were happening, even if there was no basketball, no college football to talk about, and no hockey, I would still not waste your time talking about this team, which is not good.
I think it was you guys that fired me up. It wasn't the Red Sox. It's you guys.
Well, that's what I do, man.
you guys are poking the bear, and I'm getting. You know what? Like, you guys are like, oh yeah, Reneke, he's great. You know, actually, he doesn't deserve
none
it.
None of us said that.
Oh, you know, it couldn't happen to a worse
Reneke
guy.
No one said Reneke was good.
You
know? No one.
That's why they call me Richie Flamethrower. All right, come on, man. How's the Callan crew doing? You still big in
oh,
big
was way? Fallout yeah. from yep. yesterday? No, was it fallout?
Excellent conversation, all of us.
Yeah, you had to
really?
Yeah, basically it was like an intervention, wasn't it?
No, it was more like a hey man, haven't seen you in a while. When are we gonna hang out? Oh Joe, you know, we love you. If you had ever had a problem, I know you'd tell us to our face. One of those things, you know?
You don't have those conversations unless there was a hint of a problem. Isn't
yeah,
that
there was no. some things that needed no, smoothing I, over I, or stuff that needed sweeping under the rug. Who initiated the phone call?
I texted them first. We're on a text chain. We have a text chain.
Sure.
And I said, guys, in case you're getting any tweets out there today, you know, I love you guys, and I hope to see you guys soon.
Yep, and then it was silence. And
OJ Stu actually responded first.
Oh,
he goes,
yeah?
Joe, I, you know,
Dad.
I think... Actually,
don't
I will say this,
asleep.
Though. All right, so just really quick. This guy, Bray Wyatt, right, he does these promos. And in the background, he has all these guys that he's, like, he's taken down, like, pictures in the back. Mm-hmm. And people were sending in memes of pictures with Jay Stu in the back, like, I'm watching.
Yeah.
But I thought that was hilarious from the listeners because it's actually something that happens in WWE.
Because they know.
Jay Stu with the Sarge movies out on the lawn and a spread full of food. Paid for by Andy Wong. Chicken teriyaki combo meal.
Spare ribs.
Eggs and Lushu pork. Calhoun Joe and his Calhoun friends. Watching flicks. The party never ends. They're the kings of Saugus. Hey, look, is that John Cena's dad?
No, it's gone next level when even Andy Wong tweeted about it yesterday and was like, dude, all is cool with the Calhoun crew, man. He had to make sure the world knew Joe Murray not putting a wedge into the middle of it. Someone says Joe no plays protection to the rest of the crew. 15% in a gallon of Saugus juice every week. Saugus juice. Or Saugus
sauce. You can actually get Saugus wing sauce by the...
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
All right. We'll be back in a second. When we do, something that I know will definitely get me in the mood for the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll play that as soon as we get back, right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.